We go for the head wound. Your side, you like to have pillow fights. And that's why we'll win. Even though I agree with you, as he says to me, and as I show in the film, there's more of us than there are of them. He's not afraid of that because they're fighters. And they will stand up and they will fight for the things they believe in. And they know we will back down and we will compromise and we will say, okay, Obamacare is okay, even though it's not really universal health care. Yeah, we'll go along with that. You know, we're just happy to that our kids can be covered until they're 26. You know, and we just rationalize all this stuff. And they know that about us. And they know how to defeat us with that. They have no intention of going away. And this is the angry white man party. And they know their days are numbered because this nation right now is almost 70% either female, people of color, or young adults between the ages of 18 and 35, or a combination of those three things. That's America. They know it. They know their days are numbered, and they're going to try to grab whatever they can before
and suppress the vote.
And suppress the vote and gerrymander it and do whatever they can, pack the Supreme Court, whatever it is, they're going to try and do it because they know we will not put our bodies on the line to stop them.
Oscar-winning filmmaker Michael Moore, his new film Fahrenheit 11/9 opens in theaters today. Tune in Monday when we'll play more of the interview with Michael on Flint, Michigan and the rise of progressive congressional candidates. And to hear him talk about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and the accusations against him, visit democracynow.org. Special thanks to Mike Burke, John Hamilton, Julie Crosby, Trina Ndura, Libby Rainey, Ariel Boone and Nermeen Sheikh. I'm Amy Goodman, our website democracynow.org. Thanks for joining us.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists. Start your exciting career as a surgical technologist now. Henry Ford College has a two-year program with a 98% employment rate. Job offers are up by 24% all over the United States. You'll graduate with an associate degree and hands-on surgical experience. Prepare for fall 2018 enrollment and call a health career advisor today at 313-317-6845.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
WHFR is having our Big Bad Blues Bash fundraiser at PJ's Logger House in Detroit on Saturday, October 13th from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. Featured will be three of the best blues bands around town. Appearing in order will be number one, Big B and the Actual Proof.
Put those heels in the air, drink some stiff alcohol. Had a first job, new terminal. She always said she would hear.
Number two, Bull Halsey.
Take it on, my baby. You know she saved my life.
And number three, the Boa Constrictors.
Baby, just to drive you wild. Once I have you in my arms, it makes no sense.
All we ask for is that you be 21 or above. Make a $5 contribution solution and have a great time. That's WHFR's Big Bad Blues Bash Saturday, October 13th, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. at PJ's Logger House. 1254 Michigan Avenue in Detroit. This is an event that you will not want to miss.
Hey guys, Bill Wright talking to you. College radio means to me an expression of my feelings in music, a chance to do things that I thought I would never be able to do through the world of radio, and makes me feel more important in adding to the community and to the radio station itself.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Good afternoon. It's the WHFR Journal here, Friday afternoon here on 89.3. Of course, also online at WHFR.FM. We're always making waves. Very glad to have you with us this afternoon. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. We talk about a lot of things on this program, don't we?
We sure do. The goal is to bring you information that maybe you wouldn't otherwise hear, and it's all sort of contained in an hour-long segment. In addition, we want to introduce you to some things that are happening right here in our own campus community, not just our community at large, but our campus community, and also some things that we're doing here at the radio station. Some really good stuff. Yeah.
And it has been a busy few weeks. We're heading into mid-September. So we got a couple of things coming up. Some activities at the Dearborn Public Libraries. Mm-hmm. Obviously, fall sports are in full swing. And also, lo and behold, nine weeks, we're going to be going to the polls and be... going to vote, right?
Seems like we were just there for the primaries, but you're exactly right. And since we don't claim to be experts in any of these things necessarily, we bring in the experts to help us figure out how, what's going on and how the information can benefit each and every one of us. So on our show today, Action Packed, we're going to be joined with Daniel Lodge from the Dearborn Public Library System, talking about some special events and things. And then just before we get to the library discussion, we're going to kick off today's show with friends from the Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters. Always feisty people with great information.
One of the most active chapters mm-hmm. in the state, and they do great things. Their whole purpose is, as nonpartisans, to educate voters as to who are the people that you're going to vote for, whether it is water commissioner mm-hmm. or governor or president, to sort of let you know who they are and what they stand for, and you can make your own decision. And that's kind of how this whole system works,
yeah.
right?
Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to work that way. Yeah. In addition, there's some millage proposals, certainly some ballot proposals that they'll be talking about, and also a little teaser about an event coming up right here on our campus in early October. You're really going to want to listen to that. We've had a wonderful opportunity to meet and greet some of our local students here with these welcome days or welcome mm-hmm. back days on campus. That's been a blast and very time-consuming, but I think a rousing success all the way around. So we appreciate that. Our president of the college in his, I think, 11th week on campus officially as president. So we just try to stay on top of what's happening and keep you posted. If you're interested in hearing something, a special guest you want to have come in, special topic of discussion you're not hearing anywhere else, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Simply go to our website, whfr.fm. And get our contact information, and we're more than happy. This is our WHFR Journal show designed with you in mind to talk to the issues that that you might find important here in our local community.
Well, that's an important point. Tell us what you want to hear. Otherwise, we're just we're just going to talk about what we find interesting, and hopefully that's something that you'd like to listen to.
Yeah, a couple of ideas for future shows, by the way. Some friends, it's the Halloween season will be coming upon us, fall season, some things related to leaf raking and policies and such, as well as I just was reached out to by our friends at Crime Stoppers. So look for that in a future show, I think, in the next few weeks to a month.
Excellent. We'll be back with more in just a moment here on the WHFR Journal.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw along with Alan Mazurek, and we are excited to bring in some friends of WHFR for many, many years, and this is the organization called the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. We are always looking for new events, new opportunities to help promote the vote, if you will. And there's one in those words themselves. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But let's welcome to our studio at this time President Mary Jo Duravage and Chairperson of Voter Service Committee at the state level as well as the Dearborn Heights level, Betsy Cushman, joining us for the first time. Yes, Betsy, welcome.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you both here.
Now, thank you, Susan.
Mary Jo's a pro at this, Betsy. So when in doubt, we look at her. Let's just keep it that way. But we're excited to perhaps be introducing listeners that have not followed what the league is doing on an ongoing basis. We're excited to sort of be a bridge to help people understand what it is that you do. So why don't we have our president start and just give us a brief synopsis, League of Women Voters, what's the purpose of your organization?
Thank you, Susan. And thank you for the opportunity to tell people about our group. The League was started in 1920, around the time that women finally got the vote. And the idea was that women were going to get the vote, and the group that formed the League wanted to have a way to have women become informed about the issues, especially social issues like child labor and that sort of thing. So a big goal of the League of Women Voters is informing voters about the issues, but also to register voters to enable them to get out and vote on the issues. And so we do voter registration, and we try to do what's called get out the vote also.
Well, and I think some of the things that you do just really logically come out in the different events that you present. You know, it's all a part of getting people involved, getting people active in theory, and making informed decisions. You know, the League is nonpartisan. It's not about vote this way. It's about just be prepared, be informed, do your homework, and then finish it by actually getting out there and voting. So with that being said, maybe starting out with opportunities to get people that are not currently in a position to vote here in Michigan. How much time do we have?
You mean to get registered? October 9th, you have to be registered. And people can go online to the Secretary of State's office to get a form, and they can complete that and then mail it in to their clerk, and there'll be an address for the clerk. They can go to the Secretary of State's office in person and register, or they can go to their city clerk. I would suggest that. I think it's probably easier to get into the city clerk. Right. And you must be a citizen. You must be 18 by the time the election comes around. You must have residency in Michigan, and you'll be asked to show that, either your driver's license or some sort of something showing that where you live. Actually, if you have a driver's license, you should hopefully theoretically already be registered to vote.
Right.
Well, there's also this issue, and we sort of came into this in our family, where my son, who's going to be 18 and eligible to vote, but is going to be away at college. Are you allowed to get, or what is the process for an absentee ballot?
Well, in most cases? Glad you said that. So if your son goes to register to vote in person, mm-hmm. then he should be able to ask at the same time for an absentee ballot to be mailed to him at school. It would be a different address. Mm-hmm. I'm not really clear on that. But is true that if you are, so if somebody came to a table that the League was running and registered to vote, that'd be third-party registration, or if they sent their form from the online that they downloaded, they would have to, in order to ask for an absentee ballot so they could have it sent to school, they would have to appear in person before the clerk to get vetted for the first time absentee voting.
And, we recommend that even if you register, because the League registered 1,100 high school students to vote earlier this year, that we recommend to them that that before, if they're going away to college and if they didn't get to vote in the primary election, if they vote in the primary in person, then if they're away at college, they can get an absentee ballot. But if the first time they can vote is November 6th, then we recommend that while they're home, go stop in or make a point of going into your clerk's office, showing them your ID so that you can get an absentee ballot. It is not encourage. It's one of the voter suppression activities sometimes is not encouraging college students to vote, because supposedly if they're going to be residents in their town of Lansing or wherever they're going to be going to school, they should be able to register to vote there. But that hasn't always been something that they've made easy if they know that they're not really, they're from Dearborn. So it's not easy for your student to run away.
And above and beyond, you know, younger people who are just voting for the first time, you know, other people, what are some of the rules that, you know, are involved with absentee ballots? Obviously, you there are a lot of people that have a lot of reasons why they can't be at the polls.
Michigan is one of the hardest states to get an absentee ballot. Many states, most states, have no reason absentee ballot, that if they're going to be away, they aren't going to be able to. They're working job and then taking their kids around after school, and they don't have time to get to the polling place before 8 o'clock at night, then they lose out on voting, but then they don't vote.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we are, you know, the league has two arms, and one is pure education. Mm-hmm. The other arm is advocacy. After we study and come to conclusions, we don't just say we feel like this, we study it. But once we've come to a consensus about it, then we advocate for certain things that we've studied, and one of them is that we really do believe that there should be no excuse absentee ballot voting. And so that's, in fact, we've helped pass a petition around for what was called Promote the Vote, mm-hmm. and it's going to be the third ballot proposal on the, and one of the things that they're going to be doing is in that would be to guarantee in the Constitution the right to an absentee ballot without any excuse having to be given.
And even Ruth Johnson has supported that in the past, our current Secretary of State.
Mm. Oftentimes, we're talking with students about, well, I only have to vote for the presidential election. That's it. All this other stuff, I don't really even know anything about it. And then I try to tell them, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like the local people, those are the ones that really impact your day-to-day life. So if you know nothing about what's happening in your community and your council, your mayor, your local, not only, you know, things related to millages, but also proposals and so on, those are the ones that might in fact impact you on a regular and daily basis. The presidential stuff, well, yeah, of course that's important critically as well, but would you agree that it's sort of that local day-to-day person that we need to sort of keep an eye on and get involved and, as you said, be vocal about, because there are opportunities in between, you know, primary and election days to do all of those things that you're talking about, that civic mindedness.
Think globally, act locally. So you might be really into the environment and you're looking at what the EPA is doing, you're looking at what the state of Michigan's doing, but you may also be looking at what your council is doing. Are they drinking water from plastic bottles during the council meetings? I mean, maybe you could see if there's a commission that talks about different things, ways of living a more sustainable life.
State legislators are among the most important people who affect our lives. And I think if you ask many people who their state legislator, you know, who's your state representative, who's your state senator, they often do not know. And yet they are making so many of these decisions about environmental quality, about your schools, you know, that you go after the school board. But in fact, the school boards are important. They make the decisions about how to spend what money there is. But so it's very important. We're having school board races. But in fact, most of the budget, most of the sourcing of what happens is at your state level. So know your state legislators and how they feel about school issues.
And one of the things that the league does every year is usually sometime in January we'll start working on it, but we do a who's who, your elected officials. Mm-hmm. And so the whole reason is to be able to provide citizens with, or residents, with contact information for their legislators. So if they have an issue or they want to thank them for something they've done, in their opinion, correctly, let them know. Mm-hmm. So that's very popular.
It's very popular because it's all in one place. You have one booklet that tells you how to contact every single person you elect. So whether it's your local school board, your local city council, or whether it's the president of the United States, everyone is on is in that booklet so that you know how to contact.
I have that pamphlet like pegged up like with a little push pin just on my office bulletin board. And anytime a student's like, I'm like, take that, snap it with your camera, your phone, and make some calls or start sending some emails.
Wonderful. We'll make you sure you get some next January.
Yeah, a few more would help because I'm sort of hoarding that one that I do have. But yeah, that'd be great. Well, we're joined in studio at this time with Betsy Cushman and Mary Jo Duravage representing the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, one of the most, I think it's safe to say, active organizational, outshoots of League of Women Voters in general. Dearborn Heights is, boy, always very vocal, very together, and very ready to share their insights and suggestions and also organizational opportunities for our community. Here's one going on right here on our own campus at Henry Ford College. And I know there are a couple of things going on between now and this event taking place on Thursday, October 4th, but I'm so excited to talk about it. We love when we get to have local things going on because that it's sort of no excuse for our students, right? It's right. Like, okay, it's right here. So we need you to come. So this is the Wayne County League of Women Voters and Michigan Democracy Institute Consortium holding this forum for Wayne County Circuit Courts and state ballot issues. And that's a lot of information, basically saying this is where you can come and get some information on all of the things we've been talking about. It's taking place here at our college in the big FORFA auditorium Thursday, the 4th of October, really right around the corner, and that's at 6 o'clock. So, ladies, tell us a little bit about this event. It sounds fascinating.
We are really excited about it. The first hour is going to have our state president of the League of Women Voters come to talk about with a PowerPoint explanation about the three ballot proposals, state ballot proposals, and so that the pros and cons, who's supporting, who's against, so that you have a chance to think through for yourself and ask questions there until that you feel like you can make a wiser decision of how you feel about those ballot proposals and what they are.
I was going to say, and what are those proposals, or do you have them with you?
I do. The first one is on marijuana legalization in Michigan, and it's a law, proposed law, to authorize and legalize possession, use, and cultivation of marijuana products by individuals who are at least 21 years of age and older, and the commercial sales of marijuana through state-licensed retailers. The second one is what was the Voters Not Politicians one about gerrymandering. It's called Independent Redistricting Commission, and that's to a proposed constitutional amendment to establish a commission of citizens with exclusive authority to adopt district boundaries for the Michigan Senate, Michigan House of Representatives, and the U.S. Congress every 10 years as required by law.
Right, correct.
And the third one is what was called the Promote the Vote petition, and that is on voting rights, and it's a proposal to authorize automatic voter registration, election day voter registration. For instance, if you show up and you find out your name's not on and you thought you were registered to vote, you could register that there, and as long as you are eligible. No reason to absentee ballot voting, straight ticket voting, because this November will be the first time in, 60 years or something that Michigan voters have not had the option in a general election to have a straight party ticket. To have post-election audits to be able to make sure that you are audited, that you can audit the ballots. Those are the three. So those are the three ballot proposals. The second thing on the other hour I'm very excited about, because it's the only Wayne County race with opposition for judges, and it's countywide. Any Wayne County resident will be able to vote for three out of six, and it's a really important race. Circuit court judges make important decisions, as people who go before the courts know, whether it's because I once spoke in front of the social services agency, and they're like, well, we know who's good and who's not, and what judge we want to get in front and what judge we don't want to get in front. And we didn't know you had to, you know, you were electing them. They were really excited. So we have invited all six candidates to come. They've all participated in our online voter guide. We are expecting that all six will come. We have not heard from all of them yet, but I think so. I think I've heard from four of them.
And this takes place when and where?
7 o'clock, October 4th.
Okay.
That's a Thursday, right here at Henry Ford College and the Forfa Auditorium.
But the ballot explanation starts at 6. At so 6. The whole show starts around 6 o'clock, yeah.
So we're looking at a couple hours, ultimately.
2 hours, yeah. Okay.
And this is open to everyone, yes.
We want everyone to come, and there's lots of room. And if you're coming from off campus, there is parking, it'll be labeled event parking nearby, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
And the second and third proposals that Betsy just described are both supported by the League of Women Voters. And then the third one, the Promote the Vote, the Voting Rights Amendment, the League was one of the groups really pushing for it, getting the signatures, and many people in our own group and people in the community joined us in gathering signatures, and so that was very exciting. We didn't know we were going to be doing that, but all of a sudden we heard, and so we were so excited.
There's a difference between nonpartisan and backing or supporting something like an amendment or a proposal. How does that work?
Actually, it shows in the two events that we are working on, because the one on October 4th is purely educational, so we will not be saying anything about that we are supporting.
Although it'll come up in the information during the presentation, because there probably would be a list of
one
who's
of the organizations,
but we won't dwell on it.
But, sure. But it's a purely educational, mm-hmm. Whereas the one that you were holding earlier is going to be an advocacy.
Yeah, so we're having a meeting, mostly membership, but anybody can come, as anyone can come to any of our meetings usually, to talk about Promote the Vote and the redistricting proposal. And that will be, as Betsy said, this will be an advocacy meeting. It's not a pros and cons, and so we're going to tell people this is the League's position, mm-hmm. and here's a little bit about it, so you can tell your circles about it, and hopefully they'll vote for it.
And that's the meeting coming up a week from Thursday, or next Thursday?
Yeah. It's I'm calling it the
literally this coming Thursday.
PTV
yeah.
and VNP ballot issues. So we meet generally at Christ Episcopal Church in the Fellowship Hall, which is at Military and Cherry Hill. Okay. So it'll be 7 o'clock on Thursday, September 27th.
Okay. So in other words, if somebody wants to come in and just get the facts and then make up their own mind, this event here at the college in October is going to do exactly that.
Yes.
If they want to research and find out what position you might have on the different proposals, so be it. But it's not designed necessarily to sway. You said informational.
No, it's educational.
Which is really it's the
voter education, voter service.
Got it.
Can I just mention, too, the sure. voter guides, because mm-hmm. the vote411.org, I don't know if everyone knows, but it is a fantastic service that the League of Women Voters does, and it covers everything. You go online to vote411.org, you put in your home address, and it brings up all your races and the ballot proposals. So it gives you information before you go to vote. You know something about it. It's the question and answer. It's an online voter guide. It also tells you where your polling place is. It also gives you, you know, it gives you a link that you can check the state of Michigan Secretary of State's office to make sure you're still registered to vote in case you had any questions or you moved, or a lot of times people didn't vote for a while and they're not sure if they've been kicked off the voter rolls, so they need to go check.
Is that such a thing? Do you get kicked off the voter?
Yes, they do periodic purges if you haven't voted in a certain number of years.
Interesting.
I did want to say, by the way, it's the League of Women Voters, but in fact we have many men members.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So since the 1973, we have had men as full-fledged members of the League of Women Voters. Well, it's open to everyone, and age 16, and students are free.
Glad you brought that up, Betsy. What is the... What do members get to do that non-members don't as being involved in the League of Women Voters? Why should someone that's interested in this stuff take that next step and become a member?
most of everything you actually can be a non-member and come to our meetings and participate and get our mailings. What probably is that if you want to get involved in the voter service kinds of activities where you're coming up with candidate forms and you're coming up with the questions and you're coming up with that, that you really want members to be involved in because you really want a level of trust there that they're not going to share with a sure. candidate ahead of time. You know, sure. my candidate gets to hear this and stuff. So, so I tend to think that that's when members...
Mm-hmm. And we have many members that are supporters. You know, they don't have time or they're, you know, older, but they've got some money. So they want to support us. And so that's fine. We love those people, too.
Right. Very good. If somebody wanted to learn more about how to get involved in some capacity, should they check out your website? Is that the best place to start?
You know, the National League has really revamped their website and lots of good information. So there is a section so if you just go lwv.org, there's a section where it'll say type in your zip code and it'll lead us them to our league. Perfect. And then you'll get to see what the league's involved in too.
I think so. We also have a Facebook page.
Mm.
Yes. So please come to our Facebook page.
Wonderful.
You can learn
Facebook
things
page.
From that.
Great. Sounds like Betsy's had her hands in the Facebook page. A little bit.
Definitely.
A little bit. Right. Well, I want to mention, just for clarification, I pulled up the Citizens Research Council of Michigan website, and we were close. We were very close. It's crcmich.org. That's it. Yeah, so crcmich.org. For over 100 years, they have been doing their thing.
Actually, Betsy and I are going to their annual fundraising meeting tomorrow. John Deagle was supposed to be honored in person, and of course we know he's in the hospital, and good luck to him. But Debbie hopefully will be there to receive the honor, and then she's also going to engage in a conversation with another past legislator.
Excellent. So. Well, we know how busy you ladies are, and we want to thank you again for taking some time to come out and help to educate our listeners and us, certainly, here at the WHFR Journal. And ultimately, you know, the goal is to connect people with information that they're looking for. You do an amazing job of that and so many other things. So we're very grateful for your time and your energy in making this commitment. So we're grateful. Any closing thoughts, anything you'd like to share that we didn't get into today?
The voter guides. I didn't mention the paper voter guides because there are some people who do not go online. And for them, we print, we take. That's why we're appreciative of any donations because we are purely a volunteer organization. Mm-hmm. And we do paper voter guides, and there'll be two. There'll be one for Dearborn, one for Dearborn Heights. And then there'll be a state voter guide, which looks like a little tabloid newspaper. And it has all the statewide races, including the U.S. Congress all the way across the board. So it gives you the State Board of Education. It gives you all those university boards that are so important and make important decisions. And certainly what happened in East Lansing with the sexual abuse scandal and so on, that's how the MSU board, you know, those are up for election, some of them. So I think it's really important that you know all those that information. So you can find it all online at vote411.org, or you can go to your local libraries or city halls and pick up paper copies of the voter guides.
And lastly, a fun thing, we are going to have a table at the Dearborn Museum, Historical Museum Beer Fest on, what is it, the 28th, the last Friday in September. It's between 5 and 11, so we'll have the voter guides by then.
How'd you work that one out? Huh?
Oh, well, I know somebody.
You know somebody.
Well, that's a great way to end.
The museum is a wonderful gem in our city.
Of course. Yeah. Ladies, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Susan.
Very much.
Appreciate it. We've got more to come. This is the new WHFR Journal. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Bill Keith, host of Light from the Underground, and I'm a volunteer DJ.
Hi, this is Pat Frisco from the Spirits Rejoice program, and I am a volunteer DJ.
This is Earl Jones, host of Jazz Horizons, and I am a volunteer DJ.
Hey, this is Chelsea Marie, host of Dinner with Chelsea, and all of us DJs here at WHFR volunteer our time so that we can bring you independent, commercial-free radio. Thank you for listening and supporting our station.
How would you like a sweet late afternoon treat with a steady rockin' beat that generates some heat to make your day complete? If so, be sure to check out the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show to hear what those rockin' blues are all about every Friday afternoon, 4 to 6 p.m., only on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Yeah!
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
With macular degeneration, you lose your central vision.
You have a blind spot right in the center of your face, so I can't actually see your face.
So even that little circle in which I could see became a big blur.
I was 65 when I first was diagnosed with glaucoma.
There were no symptoms. I had no headaches.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
You lose mobility, independence, changes your entire life.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
My husband tells me that I have beautiful brown eyes, and I don't want to lose that.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford College. Henry Ford College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford College. For more information on admittance and financial aid and class schedules, call the Henry Ford College toll-free number at 1-800-585-HFCC. Again, that's 1-800-585-HFCC.
This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, along with Alan Mazurek. And Alan, we are in the season of school as we are celebrating September. And one of, I think, the most exciting parts about being on a school campus and enjoying an opportunity to have a little extra sort of academic time is the opportunity to jump into a good book. So very appropriate to welcome our next guest. And we have with us in studio Daniel Lodge, who is the librarian one for adult services at Henry Ford Centennial Library, that beautiful library right here on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. Daniel, thanks for being in with us today.
Oh, glad to be here. Great to be here.
I really appreciate your time. Last time we talked, it was on the phone. And while that is always interesting and we appreciate the information, so much nicer to just chat in person.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Very good. When we talk about what's happening in general terms at the library during this fall season, before we get into the nuts and bolts of specific programs, what's the tone like? How's stuff going over there?
Well, it's been everything's going great at the library. We're glad to have people back. Students are coming back to the library. Great to have them. And the general tone of the program is programs are zombies, mysteries, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Oh.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Wow.
In that order. Right?
No. I was going to say.
Ellen, what do you think about all that?
We could change the order of interest, I suppose. So tell us a little bit about each of those topics, I guess.
Well, at the Bryant Library on October 13th at 3 p.m., we're going to have zombie, The Walking Dead Day, zombie apocalypse survival skills. I mean, that's always, lately, that's a big thing.
I hear it's a helpful thing to have, is zombie survival skills, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a couple of people from big fans of the TV show will be having a discussion of the series, and they're actually having a comic book, the survival comic by Robert Kirkman and Charlie Adler. They're gonna be there at the library to discuss it, and not to leave the kids out on October the 20th. They're gonna have a zombie party. Enjoy enjoy horrifying treats and create your own decaying friend.
Oh, boy. we already have a decaying friend. No, I'm kidding.
But, I just figured that would be a good place to, I mean, something that would be of interest as a student body here that might be attractive to say, hey, let's go check it out.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when we talk about things going on at the library, we often, library, very, very solemn, very quiet, very studious. Well, Walking Dead Day doesn't sound like any of those things, but it sure sounds fun. So that's always an approach that we want to incorporate, that you can have fun at the library.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that's why you do these programs the way you do.
Well, yeah, that's a good part of it. And for mystery, the local R.J. Fox. He's an English teacher. He's a musician. He saw an article in the Free Press one day. It's about cold cases here in Michigan, and he created a novel of what would have happened to all these different people. And he's going to be here, be at the Henry Ford Library on the 24th of October to talk about it. And do you like Fago Pop?
I love Fago Pop. Rock and rye, baby. Oh, yeah.
Red Pop. Yeah, that's fine. Either or, that's fine. Yeah, it's all good. Everyone can have their preference. Yeah, okay.
There's a gentleman, by the name of Joe Grimm. He's written a book about the history of Fago Pop. I think he's going to bring some of the old commercials on tape, like maybe have some sing-alongs. So it should be a good time. That's on October 3rd at 6:30 at the Henry Ford Library.
Wow.
And not to leave her out, but the League of Women Builders for here in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights are going to sponsor. They wanted to have a program where they could do voter education. An assistant Wayne County prosecutor, Fadwa Hamoud, is going to be there talking about the importance of voting, knowing the local officials that you're voting for, knowing what they stand for, what they believe in. Before that, we're going to have a showing of the new documentary on Ruth Bader Ginsburg called RBG in our auditorium on October 18th at 6:15. We're really proud. We're starting a new program. I mean, have you ever read a book and seen a movie and you say, hey, well, I didn't like the movie. I like the book better.
I have done that, yes.
Well, now's your chance. We're starting a new book club. We're going to be the first one showing the Bridges of Madison County. Now, I haven't read the book, but I've heard it's movie's much better.
Well, so it goes both ways.
That happens
then,
sometimes,
huh?
Doesn't it? Right?
Yeah. It could go either way.
Oh yeah, I'm thinking of Silence of the Lambs, Jurassic Park. Although we get arguments of both ways certainly on those classic films, but
sure.
Oftentimes people don't realize that they started as novels, as books, and then they make all the Harry Potters. Dare I go into that realm? You know.
Oh.
Uh-huh. It's big.
Yeah, so so it'll be one time a quarter. In the winter, we'll be showing Big Little Lies, some of the TV show, and comparing it to the novel. Then I'll be doing in the winter the most recent incarnation of Murder on the Orient Express. Mm-hmm. And then in the spring, Jaws.
Nice.
That's a good one to compare because they're both pretty impeccable in terms of the way the story's told. I'm tipping it in the film direction, but at least that's me. So yeah,
I think I'm with you on that. just in that particular instance.
So it'll be on Saturday afternoons at 2:00 in our library auditorium. You'll be able to check out just come to the reference desk and come. We'll show you how to. If we don't have copies of the book, we could get it for you, so you can read up and have your own opinion.
It's a lot of events and a lot of different dates. What is the one place where people can go to get all of this information?
DearbornLibrary.org. That'll be. That's our place. We have the most current within the week or two. We'll have a revolving ticker at the top, but we do have an events calendar listing all these different programs.
Nice. And the most current in terms of the most timely, based on our wonderful, loyal listeners enjoying our show today, would be this coming Saturday, September 22nd, and that's the From Books to Film book club that you just spoke of. So
right,
again,
right.
That one's at 2:00 this Saturday in the library auditorium. What about pre-registration for these events, Daniel? Is that necessary, or kind of event by event?
Event by event. There really is with the Books of Film Club, it isn't like a you need to register. It's more getting a copy of the book.
Got it.
That's the issue. No, we don't call for any registrations for any of these programs.
Okay. One of the things is we're talking about the Henry Ford Library and the different branches and so on. We should be pretty proud. Not every community, first of all, has a public library, mm-hmm. And not every community has more than one, frankly. Mm-hmm. And so we should be pretty excited to be able to boast here in the community of Dearborn that we do have these opportunities available to not only students, of course, but younger children, older adults, and anybody in between. How does one acquire a library card if they want to pop in, do some reading, and check out a book or something else?
Oh, we'd be glad to get them a card. There are three things. If you are a resident here in Dearborn, just simply bring your ID with you. Mm-hmm. We'll set you up with a card. Number two, if you are, if you go here to school, bring in your current registration, your class list of your current registration, and we'll get you a card. And if you happen to live a lot of Wayne and Oakland counties, we can also get your card through the library network system, which we're part of. Be with some privileges, not a full card, but with some privileges. Mm-hmm. So bring your ID, bring your class schedule, or bring your, say if you're from Dearborn Heights, you can bring your library card from Dearborn Heights with your ID, and we'll set you up with a Dearborn card.
Easy enough, right?
Indeed. So for those of us who work in radio and television, we've been hearing, you know, for like the last decade or so of how, you know, the internet is going to change the way we do things and, you know, make us obsolete and stuff like that. I'd imagine you may have, you know, at least in library issues, considered that. What's the important thing about libraries? And I mean, what are the kinds of things that you're doing to, you know, be able to be relevant in an era where... it's a different landscape, I guess.
Well, a good point would be, yes, we just recently had a volunteer fair.
Mm-hmm.
And we very successful because nine community groups took part. There are many connections made. Like I for instance, you're going to match up one group with another group.
Mm-hmm.
It was great because I could see at the volunteer fair, like say the Kiwanis made connections with another group. So it's kind of like a place in the community where you could make connections. A community center.
It's a place where everybody in a community can come to and have access to information, access to other people, and access to other events.
Yeah, and also, not everybody can have access to the internet. Not everybody has.
It's a very important point.
Not everybody has the skills, computer skills. A lot of people still seem to be left behind by the in today's world, and that's where we come in.
Mm-hmm. We call that term the digital divide.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So no doubt about it. So really a great opportunity, a great alternative. Not everybody even has a computer or always a working computer either. Yeah. So opportunities there to do some exploring on the internet with support as well.
Right. Okay.
Very good. Well, Daniel, it's always a pleasure talking with you, and you sounds like you have really embraced this fall season, in particular the Halloween season, which is kind of nice with that zombie stuff. But I also can't get out of my head, Alan, I don't know about you. And that's why we drink Faygo. We're going to do some sing-alongs, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's recap some of those events here as we start to wrap things up.
That's right.
So we've got in October. That's at the Bryant Library, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
The zombie event is going to be taking place in the afternoon. Do you have to dress like a zombie when you go there? Some people might.
Well,
he's not going to tip his hat.
I don't think it'd be discouraged.
There you go. And then the Faygo book event Wednesday, October 3rd, and that is at the Centennial Library meeting room. That's at 6:30 in the evening. We have, as you indicated, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg event, and that just the documentary sounds fascinating, and it is brand new as well. So a first opportunity for people to see that. That's October 18th, 6:15 in the auditorium, and also some discussion from our friends at the Dearborn Heights League of Women Voters about voting, not only voting rights, but also some information about the different candidates.
And then the book to film series, which kicks off this weekend, the 22nd, correct?
Yep.
That's, what do you say, Bridges of Madison County is going to be the first one, and that all takes place at the Centennial Library.
Right.
Lots going on. One more time, would you share contact information, Daniel, if people want to learn more?
Our main number is 313. Main number at Centennial Library is 313-943-2330. And our website is dearbornlibrary.org, open 24 hours.
Thank you for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. We wish you a successful season. And we've got more on the way right here on the new WHFR Journal.
Comic books and rubber heads climbing to the treetop, falling down and holding hands, tricycles and red hop, pony rides and Sunday nights, roller skates and yo-yos, fairy tales. Snowball fights, climbing through the window. Remember when you were a kid? Well, part of you still is, and that's why we make Faygo.
This is the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. Thank you so much for being with us this Friday afternoon with me and Susan McGraw, and also welcoming into our studios Josh Hebear, our sports reporter, certainly at many times of the year, certainly this one. Fridays are kind of an important day to evaluate what teams have done in the last week and what's going to, you know, happen ahead.
Yeah, I mean, let's get started here with what's going on here on campus, actually, where the volleyball team is looking to improve on their record, as their next home game will be on September 27th against Mott Community College.
Okay. So volleyball is up and running. I'm sure there are some other sports taking place on campus here this year.
Yeah, and of course, we have a golf team here at Henry Ford who has already had two conference tournaments where they've finished fourth both times. But on the other side of things, they're under the direction of a new head coach. The team actually has a girl golfer by the name of Alana Jones. She has been one of the top three golfers for the Hawks all season, and she is also teeing off from the guys' tee, which there is a little bit of a difference between the guys' tee and the women's tee. The women's tee is a little bit closer up to the green, but this is the first time that they have had a women golfer on the guys' team.
Excellent.
They do not have a women's golf team.
So that's good to hear about the HSC athletics. We've also got high school athletics going on in the area. Lots of different sports in the fall season. What do you got?
Football. Football is always big this time of year, especially in our little neck of the woods, downriver, Dearborn area. First off, we have Edsel Ford, who is traveling to Wyandotte tonight. They'll look to make it 2-3 with a win over the Bears. Dearborn will look to move to 3-2 with a win over Livonia Stevenson. And Fortson will travel to Wrestling John Glenn and look to stay undefeated,
going for a perfect
5-0.
Seems like, from what I've heard, that Fortson's got a pretty good squad this year, right?
Fortson's been a pretty good surprise on the top of their league right now. Undefeated in league. I mean, phenomenal season so far for them.
Excellent. Sounds good. What else is going on? Anything else for us?
We also have the picks, like every week
we have here. Yes, indeed.
We have, I'm going to go Dearborn over Stevenson. Stevenson is a little down this season, but I do feel
normally is strong squad, right?
Yeah. Stevenson having a down year by their standards, I'll look for Dearborn to come out on top of that one. Fortson will be two wins away from the playoffs. I have a feeling that they'll win tonight, move closer to clinching that playoff spot.
Okay.
Carlson is taking on Southgate in the Downriver League. I'll look for Carlson and Ian Stewart, big-time football prospect here in the state of Michigan, to beat them. Trenton is taking on Taylor. They won
their first game as Taylor High School last week, didn't they?
They did. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, but I have Trenton beating Taylor. Lincoln Park is taking on Melvindale in a rivalry game in the Downriver League. I have Lincoln Park getting their first win, beating Melvindale in that one. Then Allen Park and Woodhaven. Allen Park lost their first game and then went on to win their next three games by double digits. Well, Woodhaven has been close in two games and blew out two teams. I have a feeling, traveling into Woodhaven, Allen Park's going to be amped up. Allen Park beat Wyandotte last weekend.
They did.
I have a feeling Allen Park will come out of there with a win, stun Woodhaven, move to 4-1, have both teams 4-1 on the top of the conference. And then in the final game of the week, we have Wyandotte taking on Edsel Ford at Wyandotte. I have Wyandotte winning that one.
Okay. So Edsel Ford, first, as we have talked about, first year in the Downriver League, sort of getting to know the competition they're going up against.
Yeah,
right?
Getting to know how the Downriver League has been and is still currently. It's a different breed of animal coming over from the conference they were in Western Wayne to now the Downriver League. A little bit of a different monster. A few more tougher teams that they have to play. They got one win. They'll get a few more against the lower echelon teams, but I have a feeling Wyandotte is going to be a little bit too much.
All right, Josh, thanks for being with us for this last segment. And to wrap up the WHFR Journal this Friday afternoon, I'm Alan Mazurek, Susan McGraw, and I always enjoy spending time with our loyal listeners here at WHFR and, of course, our sports reporter, Josh Hebert. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back in a couple of weeks here on Friday afternoons here on the station Making Waves. Thanks so much. Have a great afternoon. Have a great weekend. This is WHFR, Making Waves.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Henry Ford College in Dearborn, Michigan is a comprehensive public college serving about 18,000 students each year in Southeast Michigan. HFC is dedicated to preparing students for the rapidly changing workplace in today's world by offering more than 100 associate degree and university transfer programs. HFC also specializes in customized workforce development training for business and industry. Since its founding in 1938, HFC has been the gateway to higher education for thousands of students who seek an affordable, high-quality post-secondary education. To learn more about what HFC has to offer, please visit us at www.hfcc.edu or you can call the campus office at 1-800-585-HFCC. Your future begins now, and it begins right here at Henry Ford College.
WHFR's annual record sale is Saturday, October 27th, and vendor tables are going fast. If you are a vendor and wish to participate, email us at whfr@hfcc.edu or give us a call at 313-317-6579 to reserve your spot now. WHFR's record show is a yearly event held right here in the Student Center of Henry Ford College, and one of those vendors could be you. Call now to reserve your spot for Saturday, October 27th.
Hi, this is Mike Holloway, host of the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show. College radio means to me the freedom to play what we want to without any required playlist. I get to play what I want to, when I want to, and that means the world to me. My main criteria is I like to play the music that I like to dance to.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The new WHFR Journal provides local news and opinions that you can't find anywhere else on Detroit radio. Please tune in every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. and be sure to check out our archive podcasts on our website, whfr.fm.
This is Jonathan, host of Songwriter Symposium. To me, college radio means that there is a place on the airwaves where music that is really good, but outside of the mainstream, can still be heard, and where local artists can get the airplay that they deserve. So thanks for listening to WHFR, and thanks for supporting independent music.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!